Hello, and I'm going to say it. Happy Thanksgiving. If you have been hearing things about how terrible Thanksgiving is, then you might want to hear this. I am Donita from prairie-trail.com, and I help bridge the gap between news and conspiracy theories and helping you and your family become more prepared and live more sustainably in a common sense way. So I am glad to have you today. And today I am going to talk about Thanksgiving. I've heard a lot of things just through the last several years. Oh, Thanksgiving's bad too. It's like everything is pagan. We're finding out now that everything that we grew up, definitely here in America, everything we grew up with is pagan or Masonic or whatever. You know, everything's bad. Everything's bad. Is there anything that is good anymore? And of course, the feasts of the Lord in the Bible are wonderful. They're wonderful. But does that mean that there's not any other time that we can celebrate? I don't believe that's the case at all. As a matter of fact, there were several times in the Bible that, you know, they got the fatted calf out and had a celebration. There were weddings, there were, you know, special visitors coming and different things. Now, what I saw recently helped to clarify to me why people are having a hard time with Thanksgiving. And I have to say, I am Native American on both sides of the family. I may not have the melanin to prove it, you know, whatever. But I am Native American on both sides of the family. I was raised to be a Native American medicine woman. So, you know, it is something near and dear to my heart. The, you know, a lot of terrible things and atrocities have happened to the and still are happening today to the Native Americans. And I hate that. Okay, I do to the absolute, but okay, what I saw was a TikTok video, and he did a very good job. He did a very good job, kind of doing a little parody type thing on how the first Thanksgiving, and of course that's neither here nor there, right? Of when it was and all that kind of stuff, exact dates, what was actually going on. We do have William Bradford's written account. William Bradford, the governor, he was governor at one point in time. I don't remember if he was governor at the time of that, what we consider the first Thanksgiving to be, but he kept record of their travel and their settling in America. So the guy was saying that actually the natives weren't invited. They just kind of had a meal together because the natives showed up and they're like, oh, yeah, OK, well, have a meal with us. But then he said later on that Thanksgivings were when the white people went and massacred Indians and had a Thanksgiving feast afterwards. OK. I get that. Tell me where there's not a place in the Bible or anywhere else after a battle that people are not having a victory dinner after the victors anyway, right? Those who lose are mourning and burying their dead, right? And even the victors are going to have some time of mourning and burying their dead because it seldom happens that you don't lose somebody in battle, right? So even Lord of the Rings shows a victory dinner basically after a huge battle with a ton of losses, okay? So it's like a bittersweet thing whenever that happens. When a war ends, a battle ends, you have a victory party, whether you feel like it or not. You know, whether you lost somebody or not, you're thankful that it's over, right? So let's just face the fact that there were, if history is anywhere near what we've been told, there, anytime there's any battles, but even here in America, between the colonists and the natives, there were atrocities on both sides. There always are in war. Okay. There were atrocities on both sides. Nobody was perfect. And as far as I know, there's only been one person that was born perfect on this earth ever. And he is still the only perfect one, right? Our perfection is in him as we grow in our relationship with Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus. Okay. That's just a fact. That is just absolutely a fact. Any battle that you have in your life, as a matter of fact, there are wins and losses. Whether you're battling weight loss, battling raising your children right, you know, battling an addiction, battling whatever it is, there are victories and losses in that, right? And when we have, you know, a victory, we need to celebrate it, right? You need to find things in life to celebrate. And just because you're celebrating something, you know, Lord of the Rings is probably the only really good example of, you know, you're going to celebrate the death of the monsters, right? So yeah, the monsters are gone. Those particular monsters anyway, but we're glad of that. So if you're overcoming a monster, if you're overcoming an addiction, you know, there's great victory in defeating that. But whenever you're talking about people against people, and especially if we understand from a biblical perspective that all of our battles are against principalities and powers, not against flesh and blood. That's what the Bible says. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers. So when we are in battle with those principalities and powers, and there are human casualties in that, whether somebody's feelings get hurt, you know, or somebody physically gets hurt, that is sad. Because God is not willing that any perish. He wants everybody to be saved, right? But unfortunately, there is deception in the world, and it happens, and some people turn away from him and don't want to have anything to do with him, for reasons that I have absolutely no idea of. I don't get it, right? Nah, I forgot to cover up my junk. The craft room is getting beyond me. Hopefully that wasn't too distracting for you guys. It obviously wasn't bothering me at all. I'm used to it. I'm going to be making a holiday dress for a granddaughter, and a grandson needs a little jammy pants, and I'm going to be doing a lot and getting rid of that stuff. So be going through things and getting some sewing done soon. The sewing machine's like over there muffled, crying, please come use me. Anyway. So I just want to kind of put that into perspective, and then I'm going to screen share here. All right. And we all know that Wikipedia is kind of frustrating, right? The Puritans, there's a difference, okay, between the Puritans and the Pilgrims. And whenever I go over here to William Bradford, it says Puritan, English Puritan separatist. And down in here, he was baptized. His family possessed a large farm and was considered wealthy and influential. They're doing everything that they possibly can in this to make him sound like a terrible, bad, at least in my perspective here reading it, he was this terrible, bad colonist. Well, he really wasn't. He was leaving the Church of England and the King of England and trying to escape. They didn't come here first. the pilgrims did not come here first. They went to Dutchland. It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, they went somewhere else first. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it just left me. Where did he go? Where did he go? He went. Netherlands. Oh, good grief. They went to the Netherlands first, okay, to try to get away from things. And then they, and here, they commenced a three-year difficult negotiation with England, seeking permission to settle in northern parts of the colony of Virginia. Okay, but they ended up Plymouth Rock, right? Okay. There is a difference. And John Bunyan, who is the most celebrated author other than biblical authors, sold the most books, last I knew, of the Pilgrim's Progress. The Allegory of Pilgrim's Progress is an amazing, amazing, amazing book. If you have not read that with your children and grandchildren, please do. Get the audio, get the book, do whatever. Make sure they each have a copy. Don't do the abridged version. No abridged versions. Do the unabridged version. And then look into his history and this man and what he went through. He wrote it from prison or jail, very much like John wrote the Revelation, you know, and a lot of what Paul wrote was from jail, right? They were trying to stand up. The pilgrims were trying to stand up for Bible only and not all of the nonsense of the church, right? And come on, quit. Well, that wasn't exactly what I wanted either. I hope that, there we go. Okay. Zoom likes to get up here at the top where I'm trying to, handle the stuff here, and it gets in the road. But anyway, right here, I just Googled Puritans and it came up, right? Puritans versus Pilgrims. And so they know, okay. And this is PBS. And it says, unlike the pilgrims who left 10 years earlier, the Puritans did not break with the Church of England, but instead sought to reform it, is what they're saying. And then down here, we've got Washington University. The Puritans had an official charter from the king to establish a colony and had not separated from the Church of England, whereas the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. Okay. So the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower and they were very picky about how they were going to do things. And they really wanted to do things biblically. Unfortunately, the Bible laws and stuff are written for community, for like a commune type situation. You've got your tribes and your community, and that's how you do. So it essentially is. And don't shoot me down on this, a type of communism, okay? But it's God as the leader and with God's principles as the driving force, right? And then under that, everybody lives in brotherly love. That's how it's supposed to work, right? Worldly communism does not work that way because they want everybody to have the same thing except for the elites who are running things, and they get everything that they want. Everybody else has to have the low end of whatever normal for everybody else is after, you know, the upper echelon gets everything that they want. So not cool, right? Not cool. And they're just taking everything away from you, and then they're spreading it out evenly among everybody after who's it's on top gets their cuts off the top. It doesn't work well. Whereas God asked for a tenth. not, you know, the 90% and then leave everybody else having to fight for the 10th. He asked for a 10th of everything. And in that, he gave promises that every 7 years, you're not going to have to work. You're going to get a whole year off. And several promises like that, in which he was going to protect them, take care of them, and make sure that everything was going to be okay. Whereas the elites really can care less whenever it comes to their, you know, communist thing. And they're not living with their people where God is saying, I will live with you, you know. So anyway, there is a difference between the Puritans and the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims were wanting to get back to the Bible. Not that they had everything right, okay? But I really think that first Thanksgiving, I think there was a lot more to it. I think they were trying to say, hey, the Bible does this Feast of Tabernacles, these feasts in the fall, and why don't we have a feast like that? And in thankfulness to the Lord, right? And then the Puritans came to colonize. That was essentially what the Puritans, they came on an official charter from the king. They came officially with the church, sanctioned by the Church of England. And the Puritans were specifically coming over here to colonize, to convert the heathen savages and all of that. Whereas the Pilgrims couldn't have survived without the friendship of the natives. And a lot of people like to say, oh, it was this way or that, you know, the Pilgrims, they were just taking advantage and all of this. I'm sure there were some that were taking advantage. I mean, we're people, right? And I'm sure there were some of the natives that were snotty about things as well. Nobody's perfect. I don't care what color you are or where you come from or, you know, nobody's perfect. But the initial reason for their coming over here is completely different between the Pilgrims and the Puritans. And we need to stop getting that mixed up. So you go over to Wikipedia and they're saying William Bradford, he was a Puritan separatist. No. He wasn't. I mean, you could put him in there just because the Puritans kind of went from here to here, you know, in the 15th and 16th century, and they were trying to purify the churchianity out of their, you know, belief in God, right? But, and then they did the same thing here with John Bunyan. He was a Puritan preacher, but yet the book that he wrote was The Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim, you know, is what he used. And that's what they were using, was Pilgrim. We know that we're living temporarily on this world. This world is our temporary place to live. We are pilgrims here on this earth. And we're to do the best we can until we get to the celestial city, until we get to heaven. Whereas the Puritans were like, we need to go and make everybody live the way we think they ought to. And interpreting the Bible through their Catholic and English church type beliefs. Okay. So different thing here. Different things here. And yeah, it's saying that they were wanting to rid the Church of England of Roman Catholic practices. But we know there's very little difference between, you know, like the Lutheran Church and some of these other churches and what Catholicism actually has in it that is not biblical. There's so much that my father-in-law explained it this way, that it was like he, and I love my Catholic friends, don't get me wrong, okay? But my father-in-law explained it this way, and he was that old Church of God preacher, okay? And he said it was like in the revelation that the Catholic Church was the beast and the Protestant Church was the image unto the beast. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, that that's not exactly everything to it. But like I've said before, prophecy always has more than one meaning and more than one application. Most of scripture has more than one application, right? So it could mean that and other things, right? And how often do we have something? We even do it in homeschooling if we don't watch. We consider the institution to be a beast, okay, if we're honest with ourselves. And if we don't watch it, when we first start homeschooling, we make ourselves an image unto that beast, do we not? I mean, I had in my head that I wanted like the Little House in the Prairie or the Anne of Green Gables thing. And I really tried to make our little schoolroom, which was just a corner of our living room at the time, look like a little one-room schoolhouse. And I tried to treat it like a little one-room schoolhouse. And I have a photograph of our oldest, Catherine, sitting at her little old-fashioned antique desk, bawling, tears just streaming down her face with her reading book in front of her. And I snapped a picture. And that was before these things, okay? It was 35 millimeter, you know, I had to get that thing developed and it's in a scrapbook. I took that picture because that is the day that I realized that school at home is not homeschooling. All right. So we all do this in different ways. We all do this in different ways. How often in natural, crunchy, I just went to the doctor the other day and, I was talking to her. I've had issues with tinnitus, I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, the crickets in my ears since May, since we started getting the rain and the allergies started bothering me. I've had this crickets in my ears. And I'm like, you know, is there anything we can do about this? And she said, well, have you been to a ear, nose, and throat specialist? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And she's like, well, the only one that they had in that town, which is away from us, she said, he's not crunchy at all. And I had to think for a second. Oh, crunchy. She said, yeah, I don't think he would work for you. And I said, no, if he's not crunchy at all, if he's anti-crunchy, then that would not be good. But really, whenever we start going to natural health things, and start looking at herbs and homeopathics and essential oils and all these things, we tend to want to make it look like what we felt like we got with the doctor, right? So you come down with some sinus infection or something, and you're wanting a treatment that's going to have you better in 3 days, right? Because that antibiotic, within a couple of days, you're better, right? Or sometimes anyway, depending on what it is. And so you want something that's going to just make you better in no time at all. And it doesn't work that way, because whenever you're talking about your health, you have to re-nourish your system, whatever was missing in your system, or you have to detox from whatever toxin you allowed in your system. And it didn't get there overnight usually. So it's not going to leave overnight. Usually, you know, so it's going to take a little bit longer. And we tend to look at it like that. So it's like, you know, pharmakia is the beast in more ways than one whenever you go into the Old Testament and the Greek. And we end up taking our other things and making them an image onto that if we're not careful, rather than actually looking at what our body needs, what our body is missing, what our body has too much of, and realizing that it is going to take time to work that all out, right? So I think we do that so often. So don't come at me, because my father-in-law, you know, he was one of the old-time preachers, and I actually... David Carrico with Now You See TV and FOJC Radio, love him to pieces. We've talked to him. I actually have a interview on the podcast with Donna that I did year before last year, I think. She's a lovely woman. But we've talked to them on the phone and stuff, and lovely, lovely people. And David Carrico reminds me of Paul's dad, and just love that. But there are times that David goes off on old preacherisms that, you know, I don't always agree. Of course, I don't always agree with everything that I think. I'm always arguing with myself. And if you've been here for very long, you know that. I've told you guys that before. I very often disagree with myself. But that's how we learn, right? We need to be willing to learn new things, be willing to accept when we're wrong. We need to be willing to, you know, grow. That's part of growing, is realizing you're not always going to be right. And sometimes, you know, we're learning, right? We're learning. So anyway, I just wanted to go into that and hit the wrong thing. I just wanted to kind of go into that and you know, it's okay to have Thanksgiving, and it's okay to not have Thanksgiving if you don't want to. Thanksgiving can be, I hate to say it can be whatever you want it to be, but it really can. You can have a Thanksgiving meal any time of the year. And you don't need somebody telling you that it's ungodly or unbiblical or heathen or colonistic or whatever, or pagan or Masonic or whatever, because you're having a meal in Thanksgiving. Okay. We fast in repentance and atonement. We should feast in Thanksgiving always. How many times does the Old and New Testament talk about Thanksgiving, giving thanks? We are supposed to give thanks. How often does it talk about, you know, feasts or getting out the fatted calf and breaking bread with each other? And Yeshua said, do this in remembrance of me, you know, break the bread and share the, we do grape juice, sparkly grape juice. We don't do wine, but, you know, share it and have this feast and enjoy this time together and have this fellowship together. And, you know, in America, if it makes you uncomfortable to have Thanksgiving, fine, don't do it. But don't not have a Thanksgiving meal sometime, you know. That's probably what Sabbath should be every single week, right? Is a meal of Thanksgiving. So I don't care when you do it, how you do it, or what, but, you know, have a victory dinner every once in a while over the victories that you have, you know. And I, you know, if it's weight loss and you're having a victory over weight loss and you want to have some kind of a victory, you know, have a party. You know, maybe you don't want to have cake or whatever, if that is going to be a problem, you're going to fall off the wagon, but you can do something, right? You can make yourself some special keto dessert or something and you know, have a Thanksgiving meal. So anyway, I just wanted to give some encouragement there that if you are having Thanksgiving today, do it without any guilt. Enjoy that. And if you are remembering the pilgrims that came over to get away from churchianity and who tried to get along with their new neighbors and who were not perfect, but tried to live the Bible, then great. And if you want to remember with honor some of the Native Americans who either sacrificed, helped, or worked with, and there were a lot of those through the years, And there have been a lot through the years. In the world wars, there were Native Americans who saved the day, honestly. Many who saved the day. I had a Native American grandfather who was in the military and served, and amazing man. Okay. So, and yeah. So let's be thankful. We've got a lot of things to be thankful for. There's a lot of harsh reality in the world today that's getting worse. And we know, I mean, I really feel like the Lord's coming back soon, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I'm just going to enjoy this day with my family. And I hope that you have a nice day, whether you are feasting or not. So thank you for being here. And if you have other thoughts and stuff, leave them in the comments and make sure to like and subscribe and share it with your friends or your enemies. And yeah, we will hopefully see y'all next week.